Rise and shine, for your light has come. Let's talk about light for a second. We know a few things about it. God uses the concept of light as an illustration. It is a teaching guide for us. It illuminates our understanding of God. And light attracts attention. Shopkeepers and store owners know that lights can bring traffic into their stores. Elaborate light displays outside of business can increase the business inside. Shining displays through the windows can and do lead people into their stores. But light can also guide us. It not only can guide us into the stores, but light can land airplanes. Lighthouses are still used to direct ocean vessels away from hazardous reefs. Light dispels darkness. If you light a match in the blackest of room, you will know, you will see. The darkness cannot overwhelm. Not even a single candle can darkness overcome. God's self-disclosure of himself is something like that. If you turn on a switch into a darkened room, the room becomes bright. It's something that we depend upon every day. I can't tell you how many hurricanes, tornadoes, and ice storms I've spent walking around my darkened house flipping on switches that don't work. Going, oh yeah, I knew that wasn't going to work. But I still hit them anyway because the room is dark and I need the light. Listen again unto the prophet of old. Listen to prophet Isaiah. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. It has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. God comes like light. God comes to attract us. He comes to guide us. He comes to dispel the darkness of our days. And we who are attracted unto the light of God, like wise men, come. When Jesus comes to earth, his light brings these Gentile magi. They're inspired to come and worship him. They brought gifts, and not just any old gifts. They brought expensive gifts, good gifts. They bought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we really don't know much about who these wise men were. Church history likes to record that they were Gentiles. They didn't have to be. We don't know how many of them they were. We don't even know if they were all men, to tell you the truth. Could have been some women in there. It doesn't say exclusively. The biblical term that we use there is magi, which is the plural. It's magoi, which is the plural of magi, from which we get words like magician and magic. Some people have said that they were maybe astrologers, that they witnessed the conjoining of Jupiter, the king of planets, and Saturn, the religious planet, in about 3 BC. Other people like to think that they were Zoroastrians. I don't like that a bit. I do love the idea that these actually may have been Semitic people, that they may have been cousins of the Israelites. Remember that Abraham was from the east, from Ur of the Chaldeans. Daniel raised all of his family in Babylon, as did Rakshak and Beni. They raised their families all there, and those families continued. These could have been the loyal offspring of the devoted Queen Esther. They could have been some of the thousands of Israelites who stayed behind after the Babylonian captivity. If you'll remember your Bible class with Ezra and Nehemiah, when Ezra and Nehemiah are told by Cyrus that they can go back to Jerusalem, not all of them went. A lot of them were like, you know what? I got life pretty good here. I'm just going to stay. And they stayed. Nothing wrong with that. They could have been the remnant of the royal priesthood, of the faithful of the northern 10 tribes who were deported east and never heard from or seen again. Or maybe they were seen just this one time. But it really doesn't matter who these wise men were. We don't really know that much about them, but the story's not about them. They are but poor players. Our story's about the Messiah. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where is the light of the world made flesh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. The glory to the Lord in the highest. We talked about light. Let's talk a little bit about glory. Glory, I got to tell you, glory is not a very interesting topic, but it's appropriate. Glory usually is used in the text to describe the visible evidence or the tangible presence of God in our midst, like the sacraments. This is the glory of God, that he continues to come to us to forgive us of our sins and strengthen our faith. During the wilderness wanderings, the Israelites knew and understood and recognized the presence of God's glory with them. They called that real presence glory. The glory of God, the presence in the fire on Mount Sinai, the glory of God, the presence that was there with the pillar that led them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That glory was there. That presence of the Lord was there. Israel was led by God's glory. They were led by God's presence. And when that glory, that presence settled upon the tent of meeting, it was worship time. They called it the tabernacle of the presence. God's glory dwelling with them in that 40-year wilderness wandering. The importance of the visitation of these dudes from the east is not really who they were, but what they were. You see, they were nobodies. Big old nobodies. I mean, they were not personally invited to this party. They invited themselves. They were not expected. They weren't even needed. If they hadn't showed up, nothing really would have changed. They weren't even foretold. They weren't even prophesied. You get a little of that in Isaiah, but Isaiah's not talking about wise men from the east. He's talking about the Lord God Almighty. It's not even a fulfillment of prophecy. But they were received. Unbidden, uninvited, unknown. They were received and they were accepted. Accepted into the presence of God, accepted into the glory of God made flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only Son from God the Father. The wise men were welcomed into this glory of God. Jesus, the light of the world, had attracted them. He had guided them. He had dispelled the darkness around them. Arise and shine, for your glory has come as well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. A city built upon a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to the entire house. In that same way, Jesus tells us, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That they might see you and give glory to God. Today, God's glory still abounds in our presence. God's glory is the visible element of His presence in this church. In this church, He is the tangible presence of God. But also, as you let your light shine, as you go out into the world and you live your Christian life, when you listen and live by that Spirit of God that He has placed within you, you also become a manifestation of that presence of God. The glory of God revealed unto the nations. So that now you too attract. And you guide. And you dispel darkness. Arise and shine, for your light have come. You've become wise men. Doing the very same job that they did so long ago. So bring your gifts. Open your packages. Worship and adore the Christ child. Beware of Herod. And go in peace as you serve the Lord, for he is definitely with you, and he is going to bless you and guard you and keep you. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.